This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 12th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at the upcoming Champaign City Council election from the angle of development, especially in Southwest Champaign. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keezer, first to look at today's news. The Army is planning to ship waste from its processing of a deadly nerve agent stored in western Indiana to Texas for incineration. But this latest plan for the final disposal of VX nerve agent from the Newport Chemical Depot doesn't sit well with one of the plant's neighbors. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Sarah Morgan lives a few miles south of the Newport Chemical Depot. Her group, Citizens Against Incineration at Newport, opposed an earlier Army plan to incinerate the VX itself. The Army is now in the process of neutralizing the VX and has signed an agreement with Veolia Environmental Services to incinerate the resulting waste in Port Arthur, Texas. Morgan says any incineration is a bad idea and that cross-country transport presents a danger if any of the VX waste should spill.
And it's not just taking care of a spill that was just plain old nasty stuff, because there are precursors to VX contained in the hydrolysate, and two of those can be classified themselves as chemical weapons.
The Army disputes claims that VX waste poses a serious danger, but Morgan says the Army should keep the VX at Newport and destroy it there with a process called supercritical water oxidization. Army officials say that process is difficult to perform on a large scale. Two earlier plans to process VX waste out of state have fallen through due to local opposition in those states. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Illinois is among the first states to reward farmers and landowners for voluntarily cutting down on greenhouse gas emissions. More than 100,000 acres are part of a program that lets them earn carbon credits for conservation tillage, planting trees, or using devices to control methane from animal waste. The credits can then be sold through a trading program called the Chicago Climate Exchange. Rob Meissen is with Baxter Healthcare, a medical supplier and one of the exchange's founding members.
These programs serve as a valuable clearinghouse for sharing best practices, real-world experiences, and multiple perspectives that set a strong foundation for continuous environmental improvement across companies, industries, organizations, and in this case, individual farmers and landowners. Most importantly, they are helping to address some of the most difficult environmental challenges that we face today.
Illinois first offered the carbon credit program last year. State EPA President Doug Scott says more farmers are signing on with support from the state's soil and water conservation districts. The top five counties enrolled in the program include Edgar and Iroquois. Illinois state lawmakers and lobbyists who got special hunting permits are defending the practice. A list released by Auditor General William Holland of permits handed out by the Department of Natural Resources also appears to include pro athletes, including Chicago White Sox slugger Jim Thome. A Holland audit says 1,250 permits for hunting deer and turkey were issued from 2004 to 2006 to people who bypassed the normal application process. It's not illegal, but Holland says it gives some preferential treatment. Democratic Representative Brandon Phelps of Norris City and Republican Mike Bost of Murfreesboro are on the list. They say they contact DNR to help constituents get permits. Governor Rod Blagojevich says he'll work to convince Illinois lawmakers to guarantee state money for Chicago's Olympics bid. The U.S. Olympic Committee will decide Saturday whether Chicago or Los Angeles will be the American bidder for the 2016 Summer Games. If Chicago's chosen, Blagojevich will push a $150 million financial guarantee to back the city's bid. The money would come out of the state's general revenue and would only be used if the games lost money and other backup funding ran out. The federal government gives each state money to put toward homeland security. Illinois has used some of its grants to better communication between rescue workers. Krista Kakowski reports.
It's important, says the head of Illinois' Terrorism Task Force, Mike Chamness, that first responders be able to relay information to one another in the event of a disaster. Chamness says that's possible through special radios, which are now in use by about 1,400 of the state's emergency management agencies.
It certainly enhances our ability to communicate with one another during emergencies, ranging from acts of terrorism to natural hazards like tornadoes and floods that we have all the time, or the New Madrid earthquake that, you know, the southern third of the state lies in one of the most dangerous earthquake zones in the United States.
Chamness says Illinois offered the high-tech radios to all 3,000 or so police, fire, and public health departments, and about half took up the offer. Chamness says some may change their minds later, but that every agency does not need the radios. He also says that while federal funding was high after the September 11th attacks, it has dropped in recent years. Chamness says the federal government needs to stabilize funding if such programs are to continue. I'm Krista Kukowski.
The Big Ten Conference plans to offer airtime on its new sports television network to member schools, with the subject matter going beyond sports. Last year, the Big Ten announced it was moving most football and basketball telecasts to a new conference-owned cable channel. Network President Mark Silverman says besides the marquee sports and a number of Olympic sports not often seen on TV, the Big Ten Network will give the University of Illinois and other schools a chance to develop programs of their own.
We're working with all the schools to come up with, you know, programming we think viewers will want to see, and that really kind of bring to light the university in a positive way. And, you know, we think it's a great benefit for the schools to be able to showcase themselves, you know, in such a public forum, you know, that most other universities really, you know, wouldn't have the ability to do.
Silverman says plans for those shows are very preliminary, but they could include documentaries on school research, performances, and student-produced projects. The new cable channel launches in August. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The recent decision to ban smoking in bars and restaurants in Champaign could play the biggest role into who retains or gains seats on the Champaign City Council next week. But there are other issues that could influence Tuesday's election of three at-large members. AM 580's Jeff Bossert looks at the issue of growth in southwest Champaign and the approach that each candidate wants to take.
Farm fields surround the site where a new interchange is being built on I-57 and Curtis Road just outside Champaign. Once it opens, city officials are looking forward to the area's development. Incumbent Councilman Tom Bruno notes that area has been in the works for 20 years and sees light at the end of the tunnel. But he says there's a lot to consider as the city is on the verge of unveiling another interstate hub for shopping.
We have to be cognizant to the rights of the private property owners and the community to do as they wish, with the needs of the community to say we don't want it to be a bad result.
But Bruno says the area's new tenants, or what kind of retail stores, restaurants, and perhaps light industrial may occupy the space, should have their say as well.
We're going to want some design standards, but those are regulations on business. And the business owner is going to say, how dare you tell me what the facade of my business can look like, or how high my roof line can be, or how far setback I have to be. We have to balance that.
Political newcomer Karen Foster says she's concerned that a consultant's plan for development around the new interchange calls mostly for retail space. Like Bruno, Foster says the council needs to balance the needs of business with those of private landowners. The consultant's plan was shown to the public at a recent open house on Curtis Road development. Fears were expressed that the area will become another North Prospect shopping district with big box stores and traffic congestion. But incumbent Councilwoman Deb Frank Finan says whatever the consultant's report says, the city's own master plan for the interchange highlights upscale design standards that weren't available when North Prospect was developed. She says the city has learned from that experience.
To know that we in our community have the buying power to have another major shopping complex or something available to us is good information. But the study does not necessarily drive what we eventually choose to put out there, and we have to decide what we want that area of our community to look like.
Incumbent Councilmember Geraldo Rosales says, above all, he wants to see citizens in southwest Champaign weigh in on the needs of their area. He says even Duncan Road, just east of where the interchange is being built, is starting to see more traffic congestion. With that in mind, Rosales says he thinks the Curtis Road site needs a delicate balance of real estate, commercial, and mixed-use development. Candidate Annette Williams says she shares the concerns and optimism of her opponents when it comes to the Curtis Road interchange, but she says at some point, local leaders need to stop adding on to neighborhoods and address existing ones.
There's the needs of the poor, there's the needs for jobs, and they say this is going to provide jobs, but I'd like to see a study of it. Is that working out? Is it really working out for the common person and the taxpayer? If it's just padding the elite already, then I'm totally opposed to it, and it needs to be exposed that that's what's happening.
Williams says she wants business incentives and tax credits to promote development in the older parts of Champaign, north of University Avenue. Another of the challengers, former county board member Patricia Avery, says she wants to avoid development for development's sake at Curtis Road.
Sometimes we have growing pains, and it comes with that growth, and so it has to be smart. We do need to make sure that we are planning what that growth means. And so I'd like to see us finish at least a couple of the projects before we start, building out on Southwest Champaign with another economic development area.
Tuesday's elections will shape the Champaign City Council that makes decisions that guide development around the Curtis Road interchange. The interchange itself is slated to open in January. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Welcome back. A little bit of snow to central Illinois, although it is mainly just in the form of flurries, and it will get warmer after a while, especially early next week. Meteorologist Ed Kieser says for today in northern and central Illinois, mostly cloudy, some scattered snow showers or flurries in the morning. In northern and central Indiana, cloudy, rain showers changing to snow showers, and in the south, in the two states, mostly cloudy. Highs ranging from 37 in far northern Illinois to 55 in the far south. For tonight, in northern and east central Indiana, cloudy with snow showers and flurries, but elsewhere just mostly cloudy and the precipitation ends. Lows ranging from 25 in far northwest Illinois to 35 in the south. Then a bit warmer for tomorrow. In northern and central sections, partly sunny. In the south, cloudy with some rain arriving. And highs from 46 in the north and in southwest Illinois to 56 in far south central Indiana. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 12th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.